220!
It's intentional grounding. Chicago's best Bears breakdown and analysis.
Ice up, son. Ice up.
Now, they are WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue and the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
Welcome in. This is episode 22, the season finale of Intentional Grounding. It's been a good first year. We've enjoyed being here with you throughout the season, but the Bears 2015 campaign is over, and we're closing the books today on 2015 with a very special season-ending award show. Adam Johns is here.
A lot of goodies.
Oh, yeah. We got, all right. A lot of these are, about half of them are serious. You know, you're best
this
player.
This is all serious, Adam.
Rookie of the year. Yeah. The other half are fun awards that we put together. Mike Jacobson is our producer and did a phenomenal job with the production of all these awards. So you'll hear the fine work that he did. We also know how much you love What Does the Fox Say? It's become a popular segment throughout the year. So we have a special season finale edition of What Does the Fox Say? I think you're going to enjoy that too. As always, it's Adam Hogue. Adam Johns here with you. You can follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Find us at WGNRadio.com/Bears. ChicagoSunTimes.com. Should plug. Adam had a nice sit-down with Jay Cutler on Monday. You can read his story at ChicagoSunTimes.com. And find the podcast on iTunes by searching Intentional Grounding if you haven't already. And if you have and you like the podcast, please rate it and review it. We appreciate you doing that. Gets a little bit more exposure. And we're on SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/WGN Radio Sports. You ready to go here?
Let's do it.
All right. We'll start off with one of our serious awards. This is the Walter Payton Offensive Player of the Year. It speaks for itself. It goes to the top player on offense this season.
The Walter Payton Offensive Player of the Year, Jay Cutler.
The play fake. Cutler throws to carry. Touchdown. The Bears regain the lead.
Some of that stuff's out of my hands as well. I mean, I hope to be. I want to be. I haven't had conversations with Foxy or Ryan yet, but we'll see what the future holds.
He had a good season. I'm excited about working with him moving forward. I think he's, again, captain that was a big part of the strides we made.
Jay Cutler, pretty obvious choice here, I think, but a significant, I mean, this really speaks to the season that he had, because last year he would have been nowhere near the offensive player of the year. He was probably among the worst players on offense last season, and he's really turned it around this season.
It's quite the story. You mentioned turnaround. I mean, this point last year, he didn't know if he was going to be back with the Bears. I mean, he had to win over Pace, had to win over Fox, and he produces his career best pass rating at 92.3. And the thing with him is he did it with God knows who he was throwing to, you know, some games. I mean, look at the last week.
Yeah.
Mark Mariani was his leading receiver. I mean, even Zach Miller, who had become a reliable target as his number two tight end, was missing that game. The context, the narrative for Jay Cutler has changed for sure.
And guess what? This may surprise some people. Despite the three interceptions he threw in that game and the weapons he had to throw the ball to, that was his highest graded game for me against the Lions the other day. I thought he actually played phenomenal. You look at the interceptions. I didn't punish him for any of them. His arm was hit on all of them. He was disrupted because of mainly Charles Leno on two of those, gave up the pressure.
Ziggy Ansah.
And so they were hard to blame him for the interceptions. And otherwise, he was going through his progressions. He was making plays with his feet. Basically, he threw a tremendous touchdown pass to Josh Bellamy.
Yeah.
The shot downfield along the right sideline to Deontay Thompson. He put that right there. And he's working with guys that weren't even supposed to be on the field this year.
He had six incompletions in that game. And even considering his three interceptions, his pass rating was 97.5. I mean, just think of that.
Yeah.
I mean, before, when he would have multiple interceptions games, I mean, he's having a pass rating under 50 sometimes. He hung in there. I mean, this offense, it works for him. I mean, he told me the other day it's the best offensive system he's ever been in. He's got pretty good perspective on offensive systems as well, being in so many, not only going back to Denver, but here in Chicago. He thinks it's going to stay the same. Maybe a foundation is built. I don't know. Adam Gase is probably gone, but you're right. I mean, Jay Cutler, considering everything he's gone through from last year to this year and what his personnel was, quite the good season.
Is there anyone else you would have considered for this award?
Matt Forte?
Yeah. I had Forte. Actually, he was the highest graded offensive player throughout the season until Sunday. He got passed up by Jay Cutler, but they were neck and neck.
So if he would have played those three games without the sprained knee?
Oh, yeah.
Probably your best player.
Yeah, and also, I probably would have still given it to Cutler. I don't think necessarily you put everything on just the my grading of the season. The fact that Forte missed those games. And also, you got to give the quarterback props a lot of the times. And if you're kind of like 1A, 1B, I'm going to side to the quarterback most of the time because they're in charge of the offense. They're on the field every play. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's necessarily Matt Forte's fault that they started with a running back rotation, but that does factor in. I mean, Forte was taken out a lot in the second half. Yeah. His carries went down.
Significantly.
Yes.
I mean, here's the stat for you. He missed those three games with the sprained MCL, right? Jeremy Langford comes in. Kadeem Carey comes in kind of out of nowhere, starts taking carries away from him, even in the goal line situations. He was still the 11th best rusher in terms of yards this year, Matt Forte. Just
impressive.
a couple yards shy of 900. Not too bad.
I would also throw Matt Slauson's name out there as a guy who had a pretty good year. If we don't have an offensive lineman of the year award, but if we did, he would probably win it.
Oh, he'd be a runaway winner.
Absolutely. But otherwise, it's pretty much Jay Cutler and Matt Forte. You really couldn't give it to him because of all the games he missed, but Alshon Jeffery was great when he was on the field.
Oh, he was exceptional. What was he averaging, like 90 yards per game, and that was up actually higher before.
Yeah.
Gotta forget when he really started to tail off there, but he was averaging close to 100 yards per game, really tilting the field for the Bears offense. And everybody will tell you, Adam Gase on down, that the Bears offense was significantly, dramatically, maybe a better word, different when Alshon Jeffery was in the lineup.
Yeah, it's just you can't give him the Offensive Player of the Year award when he only plays in 10 games.
Yeah.
You gotta put in a full season. All right. Well, let's move on to the next one, and this is where things get a little bit silly, I guess. This is the Mark Colombo Injury Award, which, speaking of the guy we were just talking about.
The Mark Colombo Injury Award.
All right, update on the injury report.
Alshon Jeffery.
Alshon Jeffery calf was limited.
Alshon Jeffery illness, did not participate.
Alshon Jeffery groin and shoulder, did not participate.
Alshon Jeffery hamstring, limited, questionable.
Yeah, I hate giving timelines.
Great. Probably, I think you missed a couple in there, too.
I'm sure. Because what did we have? We had the shoulder, which started actually in training camp.
The calf in training camp,
then
too,
there was
right?
The calf, yeah. After that,
yeah.
In training camp. Then there was the hamstring.
Groin.
Got the ankle.
There's the ankle, yeah.
And illness then, that we heard.
Illness. And then the hamstring again, which put him on IR, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's hard to keep track of.
There's a lot. I mean, things kept popping up. The illness thing, too. You know, a lot of guys.
That was weird.
I'm getting off topic here from Jeffrey, but a lot of guys were sick at Halas Hall this year and missed games because of it.
And not just like you had a cold, missed a couple days. I mean, there was Fail shows up sick to training camp.
Yeah.
Didn't practice for like 3 weeks. Then you had Sam Acho.
He had mono?
Sick for a couple weeks.
Yeah, he had mono, right?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Did he?
I think he kind of let that slip. Yeah, he had mono.
Acho did,
the
right?
Kissing disease, yeah.
Yeah. And then from that point on, someone was sick every week, it seemed like.
Yeah,
it
I mean, Eddie Royal missed this last week because of Vanillas, and we saw him walk through Halas, so it looked like stay away, like he should have been quarantined, but he was walking around Halas Hall.
Let's move on to this is the Urlacher Briggs Tillman Defensive Player of the Year Award. There's a lot of defensive guys throughout the history of the Bears that you can go to as someone you would name a Defensive Player of the Year Award, but you know, it's a new era, I think, and use guys like Urlacher, Briggs, Tillman. Urlacher is
Wait,
hair
I was going to say, are we talking about Urlacher with hair or Urlacher with without? Well, it has to be without.
I think we go without because he was a much better player.
I can't remember him with hair, you know, even before he became a
I don't think he ever had it.
No. Never? Ever?
I think when he was drafted, he was bald. I think he always shaved his head since college.
He looks like a rookie now.
I don't know that I like it. I mean, let's be honest.
I know a few media members could use it.
Yeah. I mean, is Cap going to get this procedure? Is that what you're going after? Right. I mean, I could see that happening.
Him amongst others.
All right, so this goes to the Defensive Player of the Year Award, which was interesting to think about and I don't know if it was a runaway victory, but we'll discuss it. Here's your winner.
The Urlacher Briggs Tillman Defensive Player of the Year, Pernell McPhee.
I'm violent, and that's all you need to be violent.
Pressure. And Pernell McPhee's got him for the sack.
Two words, Aaron Rodgers.
Hall of Fame. Two words.
Bridgewater is knocked down. And he was just twisted to the turf. Pernell McPhee.
Hit his ass. That's it. Just hit him. Nothing else. We just need to hit his ass. He won't be able to run then. Go eat us some turkey dinner. Happy Thanksgiving.
So quotable, that guy.
Right. If we're going most quotable player of the year, it's a runaway right there with Pernell McPhee. Do you go Hall of Fame? You go one word or three words there?
What is it?
You go with the hyphen and make it one?
Is it hyphenated? You know, then it could...
Or you go... All I know is it's either one word or three words. It's definitely not two words. That I could definitely rule out. So this was... I think Pernell McPhee deserves this award. But he did have the knee issue throughout most of the season. And his play did tail off. He was off the field a lot late in the year. He missed one or two games when it was all said and done. I can't remember now, but he missed a couple games. And when it was all said and done, I actually had Willie Young graded higher. Willie Young came on really strong late in the year.
Yeah. I think he barely played 50% of the snaps, too.
Willie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To me, it's a McPhee. Just because, well, one, he kind of did it throughout the year. I know he missed a couple of games because of his knee injury, but... Just the way he changed. I mean, you heard some of those quotes there. I mean, this guy every week was talking like this and kind of changed the mindset of a defense that was god-awful the past 2 years. I mean, pathetic the past 2 years. And this guy brought an edge, a swagger, and he backed it up. I mean, this guy would break huddles. You know, McClellan would get the play, and then McPhee would break it. I mean, he brought a different emotion that you needed that was missing on that defense. And look, guys say a lot of things, and McPhee said a lot this year that made headlines, but he backed it up for the most part.
Yeah, and that's why ultimately, I mean, I voted for McPhee too. I think his presence in that locker room, the message and the leadership that he brought every week to that defense helped when there wasn't a whole lot of talent there. And I think there were times where you could sense some frustration out of him too, that maybe some guys weren't pulling the weight.
Right, right. Even when he was kind of hindered, look at the Tampa game. He was good in it, and he didn't play that much, only like 25 snaps, I think even less.
Right.
He had a sack, a couple quarterback hits on Jameis Winston. Just, look, teams started to scheme around him a little bit. He really became, you know, a disruptive force.
And I think you look at that win in Green Bay as a perfect example of him leading the charge in both on and off the field. The way he talked that week leading up to the game, you could tell his teammates responded to that. And it meant a lot to him, even though he hadn't gone through all those losses to Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, He'd just gone through that one earlier in the year at home. He really led the charge, I felt like, in the emotional preparation for that game, which I think for us, we both picked the Bears that week to win that game. Yeah. And a lot of that
we
was because
really good.
Well, a lot of that was, at least for me, was based on what was said in that locker room. And you heard the quotes there in the award presentation that Mike Jacobson put together. That a lot of that was talking about getting after Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. And that's what they did.
You know, when they voted for their captains and it was announced that McPhee was one of them, I think a lot of us looked at it like, what has this guy done? You know, like,
yeah,
he wasn't a career, he wasn't a starter for Baltimore. He was a rotational player, and we were wondering why he was voted a starter. What were players seeing in him? And as the season went on, even early on, we saw why his teammates were, you know, ready to go, you know, as they say, go to war with this guy as their leader.
All right, let's move on. This is the we got to clarify this award. It's called the Phil Emery Disruptive Player of the Year. Now, this is not a negative award, though. I want to make that clear. This is just because Phil Emery's name is attached to it. It is actually a positive award, but it was named after him because of all the talk that he did about disruptions.
One of his favorite words.
One of his favorite words. And you know what? It was actually one of the things that I agreed with a lot with Phil, that you can be disruptive, and that might not go down as a stat, but it is important on defense. Disrupting the pocket, moving a guy off a spot, whatever it is, that should be taken into account. That's what a lot of watching the tape does. You can pick out a guy that had zero stats on a given play, but maybe caused the whole play to happen.
Absolutely. Guys who ruin plays, or, you know, you always look at the tackler, right? You always look at the guy who makes the sack. But what if the guy, you know, Jameis Winston steps up in the pocket because Pernell McPhee's rushing to the outside and Eddie Goldman gets sacked, things like that.
Right.
You know?
So I think where people started to get on Phil about this, though, was because he kept talking about it in regards to Shea McClellan and saying that Shea was the most disruptive player on the team and trying to back up his draft pick.
Well, it's a very subjective stat.
Exactly.
Too, you know, it could be because sacks, you know what they are. You see them, right? You know, but disruptions can be a bit subjective because, you know, some offenses are well prepared to step up into the pocket and throw it downfield and, you know, move their quarterback.
So here it is, the Phil Emery Most Disruptive Player of the Year Award.
The Phil Emery Most Disruptive Player of the Year.
You know, and I know I've used that word, disruption.
Willie Young.
I'm certain they know when I'm coming. I'm usually slobbing at the mouth.
Gabbert steps up, down he goes. Back at the 15-yard line, Willie Young with his fourth sack of the season.
Nose dripping with blood, just about. So they know I'm coming. They know when I'm not coming because I'm crying. Tears are coming down my face.
To borrow a lyric or a line from Kerry Newcomer, we stand breathless on the clean edge of change. So it's time to change and to move forward. Go Bears.
We stand breathless on the clean edge of change.
Mike just couldn't resist.
No. Look at him over there.
Oh, he loves it.
He's giggling galore.
It's good. I mean, but let's talk about, I mean, what a good year for Willie Young when it was all said and done. It's so much talk early in the season about him getting traded, and he didn't seem very happy with
it. He was a healthy scratch in Seattle.
I know. And that's amazing to think about. He ends up finishing the season with 6.5 sacks, which is down from 10 a year ago. But when you consider that, A, we didn't know if he'd be a fit in this defense, and B, he clearly was hindered coming off that Achilles early in the year. He didn't really get to go through a full training camp and be out there every day and practice the way you need to. 6.5 sacks was impressive. And he went through a stretch of like five games.
You guys say 5 games in a row?
I think he had 5.5 in 5 games.
Bears record, wasn't it? Or tied to Bears record?
Yeah, it might be. And he also had an interception.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good, solid year for Willie Young. And I think he showed, as we talk about Pernell McPhee and Willie Young, let's also throw Lamar Houston into this conversation.
Yeah.
As you look at needs for this team, they need to get after the quarterback more. But I'm not sure they need to address that at outside linebacker. I mean, those three guys right there, that's a pretty good trio to get after the quarterback. Maybe you add a guy here just for more depth purposes. But I look more at that defensive line.
Yeah.
Especially in today's NFL where it's harder to get to the quarterback from the outside with how quickly quarterbacks are getting rid of the ball. I think the key to improving the Bears' pass rush is really on the interior, finding a good five technique that can get after it. Like Jarvis Jenkins did that a lot early in the season and then kind of tailed off. They need that consistently every game from one of those guys at the five technique.
Yeah, I would rate that probably too early to discuss draft needs, but that's definitely up there. I'd probably still like to see them draft maybe a young guy. You could probably wait a little bit, you know, to go with that trio you have. But you're right. What Houston and Young did over the second half of the season. I mean, Lamar Houston led the Bears in sacks.
Yeah.
Who was expecting that after last year when he had one and he blew out his ACL? This defense fits better for him. I think Willie Young, as he started to feel better, realized he could be better, you know, or his numbers could be good in this defense as well. I'm not worried about – okay, before he was unhappy, I mean, let's be clear. I mean, when Jared Allen was traded away, he probably wanted to get out of here too. But Vic Fangio has a way of getting guys to come around. John Fox especially has a way of getting guys to come around, and Willie Young is one of them. I think he won't say it. He won't call himself an outside linebacker, but I think he likes playing in this defense.
Would you consider trading him, though? Now, I mean, his stock is up.
His contract's not going to be prohibitive.
And there are a lot of 4-3 teams that are going to look at what he's done the last two seasons with the Bears. 16.5 sacks, which is a respectable number, especially considering the circumstances and him playing one of those seasons in a defense he'd never played in before. I think he'd be pretty coveted by a 4-3 team, especially he's still under 30.
So you're saying like a third-round pick, fourth-round pick? You know what Willie Young is, and you need pass. I mean, you're like you're saying, you have these three pass rushers. You're already kind of.
I don't think I would give him up for a.
You're not going to get
maybe
tour.
Two threes. And if you could get a second rounder.
Do you really think Willie Young could get that?
I don't know. Probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not. But you never know how these conversations go down. And don't get confused here. I think Willie Young's great. I think he should stay in this defense, and I think he'll be a good player for the Bears next year. But I just look at him in his situation, and I would think that if you're a 4-3 team out there, you would make a phone call to Ryan Pace and say, hey, is he available?
Yeah.
And then you say, okay, maybe. What are you willing to offer? And if someone's willing to offer you a second-round pick, I would think about that.
Yeah. Well, it's got to be a contender, right? Carolina, what would they get for Jared Allen? Sixth?
Yeah.
Willie Young's younger, more productive at this point in his career. But, look, I just go back to what Ryan Pace said when we were sitting down in this nice courtyard in Phoenix, Arizona, the owners' meetings, his first owners' meetings. You can never have enough pass rushers.
Yeah.
You always need them. And like you said, that trio of McPhee, Houston, and Young is a great place to start.
And I like that trio. I like that trio, and maybe you add a draft pick there too. And that's a pretty good you're pretty deep at that position. All right, let's move on. The A-Train Rookie of the Year Award. I like that name for Rookie of the Year Award. We went with the A-Train. And really this comes down to, I think, two candidates.
The A-Train Rookie of the Year Award. Jeremy Langford.
And they give it to Langford, his first career touchdown.
Come out here and do a little bit better and keep getting better from game to game and get more yards out of contact.
Cutler, Langford. Room to run across the 30. Langford now. In the Rams territory, Jeremy Langford. Can he go? Yes, he can. Touchdown, Chicago.
So this was one of the awards that we actually had a little bit of a disagreement on, and we needed Mike Jacobson to come in and break the tie.
Yep.
Because I actually had Eddie Goldman ranked higher on the year, and I put my vote in for Eddie Goldman. I certainly don't have a problem with Jeremy Langford winning it. He had a good, solid rookie season that has a lot of people excited. And so I'm fine with him winning it. But that, I just think it should also be pointed out that I thought Eddie Goldman had a pretty solid year as a rookie. I think he needs to be more consistent, though.
Who, Eddie Goldman?
Yeah.
I know Adrian Amos, there was some minor consideration, right, because he started all 16 games. But in terms of looking for impact plays out of your draft picks, right, I mean, Langford has more. Eddie Goldman has more.
Yeah, Amos didn't force a turnover all year.
No.
I can't give him a rookie. I mean, it's fine he played every game, but
led the team in tackles.
Fine. As you pointed out before the show started here, that John Bostic led the team in tackles last year.
Good point. Myself.
If you're a starting safety, you need to come up with an intercept, at least one interception, at least one forced fumble.
Right. I think there's nothing. The reason I went with Langford over Goldman is when they needed him the most. Like I think the Bears defense would have been okay without Eddie Goldman, right? yes, he had, what, 4.5 sacks? Yes, he's a pretty
good guy. I don't
know, because
don't forget that they lost Jeremiah Ratliff and they lost Eagle Ferguson.
Right. I get that. But when Matt Forte is out of the lineup, you needed Jeremy Langford to do what he did. And he did it in amazing fashion.
Yeah, he came up big in those games.
I mean, huge. Yeah. Huge. I mean, a game changer. I mean, in two victories. You know, I mean, without it, I mean, the Bears aren't looking at six wins. I mean, six wins, it's another story. But in those games, and like you said, Eddie Goldman could vanish at times. I mean, the fans, you called him inconsistent. He has to lose weight, all those things. Jeremy Langford, you know, when the Bears needed him the most, I mean, he helped deliver two wins for him.
All right, five awards down. We got five more to go. Before we get to the final five, we'll take a little bit of a break here to give you a special edition of What Does the Fox Say? You've been hearing it all year long in a very short snippet. I get the feeling a lot of people haven't heard the actual song, though. This is from. So we took all of the What Does the Fox Say examples from the entire season, and we put them into a montage for you. Here it is.
Dog goes woof, cat goes meow, bird goes tweet, and mouse goes squeak. Cow goes moo, frog goes crow, and the elephant goes toot. Ducks say quack, and fish go blub, and the seal goes ow, ow, ow. But there's one sound that no one knows. What does the fox say?
Is it going to be heads or tails on Sunday? I don't know.
What the fox say?
We need to generate more than 0 points.
What the fox say?
They had always that, you know, we were going to try to monitor.
That's my favorite one.
Tyo, Fabulous-A, ankle, limited, questionable.
What the fox say?
Now you can hear how ridiculous this song actually is.
People love this song.
Oh, it's a hit. Oh, kids love it, right?
And a lot of adults too, Sam.
Like me.
Your fur is red, so beautiful, like an angel in disguise. But if you meet a friendly horse, will you communicate by more? How will you speak to that? What does the fox say?
They were short some guys, we were short some guys. That's the National Football League.
What the fox say?
Sometimes winning can be exciting.
What the fox say?
It's either a carnival after you win, or it's a crisis after you lose.
What the fox say?
You know, I don't really look at football players in terms of, like, cars.
What does the fox say? The secret of the fox.
This is where it gets really fun. You're ready to jam out.
I've always had the philosophy, when you stop learning, you stop living. I don't really recall the end of the first half. Things do change. One thing that's constant is there is change. but I don't anticipate changes.
What can you tell us about Bear Jones, and is he ready if he needs to be?
Right now he's on the practice squad.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, ready for ready. What?
Turn down for what?
And there it is!
It's been an interesting year getting to know John Fox.
It has been. By the way, that second to last, the one before the stupid Bear Jones question by myself, that was new. That was the final addition to What Does the Fox Say? It was from Monday's press conference.
Yeah.
The only thing that's constant is change. It does not anticipate change.
Was he talking about again his coaching staff?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I got what he said, but the way it came out was hilarious.
He's got a lot of sayings, you know? Well, you know which one that always stuck with me? That, you know, my editors would ask about, where he used to say, you know, I've been here for a minute. He said that quite a bit. In a minute. You know, like, which would used to, he would use in a minute to describe years or months or the season, you know? We've been here for a minute.
That's kind of like a new slang term, too.
Is it?
Relatively new, I think.
So he's hip to that?
I think so.
He's picking up the slang?
John Fox is hip. That's exactly how I would describe him. All right, let's move on. We got five more awards to go. I think you're going to like these. We start off with it's a real award, and it is called the Devin Hester Special Teamer of the Year. This should be interesting because this was not exactly a strong suit of the Chicago Bears.
The Devin Hester Special Teamer of the Year. The Devin Hester Special Teamer of the Year.
We had no winner.
No one.
No winner. The first ever Special Teamer of the Year award given out here on Intentional Grounding.
Right.
Goes to nobody.
I mean, you could look, Pat O'Donnell's numbers, some of those analytical numbers are improved upon last year. Robbie Gould set a single season record for field goals, but he also missed a couple biggies.
Big ones. I mean, you could say they lost two games because of him.
Yeah.
But it should be pointed out Robbie Gould did not have a bad year.
No.
That is a misconception.
He made 17 in a row.
Yes, to start the year.
You know, and 50-yard field goals aren't exactly gimmies.
And he was 7-9, right, from 50-plus?
Yeah. So, I mean, he was a definite candidate. I mean, Sherrick McManus.
Josh Bellamy improved.
Yeah. I mean, Deontay Thompson came in and gave him a spark, but he has to do that for, I guess, a longer period of time.
But you're looking for game-changing type plays.
Yeah. And you know what? All those
forced fumbles.
All those game-changing type returns. Plays they allowed.
Right.
Negates everything that could have been positive for a special teamer this year, in my opinion.
So I think it's fitting that there is no special teamer of the year. That isn't... And by the way, I want to give Jeff Rogers some credit, though. That unit improved as the year went along. And there's not a whole lot of talent there.
I mean, you could give a lot of guys some credit. Again, Pat O'Donnell, Robbie Gould for rebounding after his misses, and Rogers for dealing what he had to deal with early on in the season.
All right, we move on. This is the Josh McGowan. The Josh McGowan Comeback Player of the Year Award.
The Josh McGowan. Yes, McGowan.
Look what he did with McGowan last year.
Comeback Player of the Year Award. Zach Miller.
Second and 10. Finds the pocket. Cover. What a grab for the touchdown by Zach Miller. One hand. Snatched it out of the air. Chicago leads. What a catch.
Yeah, I love this game. I love what comes with it. You know, the friendships, the family life in the locker room. And that's what kind of drives me.
This is my fight.
Love the music choice.
The montage was deep.
It was. What a story, though. You know, I tweeted this out last week. I don't know that you can top Eric Berry's comeback story this year. I mean, the guy had cancer, and he's out there playing at an extremely high level.
He's a Pro Bowl?
Yeah, he's a Pro Bowler. So I don't know that you can top what Eric Berry did this year in terms of coming back from, you know, an injury, illness, whatever you want to call it, that would qualify for this award. But Zach Miller should be right there in the conversation, though, for the NFL Comeback Player of the Year Award. What he went through, missing three full seasons of football with various injuries, serious injuries, and to come back and play the way he did. With six touchdowns, was that what he finished with?
We got it right here. Hold on. Where is he at? Five touchdowns. 34 catches, 439 yards, including that 87-yard touchdown.
So the numbers aren't exactly eye-popping, but he was also the number two guy for most of the year. Yeah. And as soon as Martellus went out, he went to the next level and showed that he can be a number one guy.
Even before Martellus went out, I mean, he was winning Jay Cutler over in a lot of different ways. I mean, not only personally, but on the field, you know. Became a great option for him, kind of a safety valve. But getting back to the grander context of what he is, awesome story. Great guy in that locker room in terms of that football character that John Fox always talks about. I mean, this is a guy who kind of embodies it. The coaches were ecstatic for this guy. I mean, Adam Gase says he was so happy for him. I mean, what did John Fox say? He has never been more proud or as proud of anybody on this football team of Zach Miller's success. So you would think he has a place here past this season.
Are you surprised he hasn't been locked up yet to a contract?
No, that was Phil Emery's style, maybe. I think Ryan Pace is different because we're learning about Pace's way of doing things. I mean, if Phil Emery was still here, we'd have five contracts already handed out and stuff like that.
Well, they do have exclusive negotiating rights until March.
Right, there's no rush.
So you can get it done any time.
Yeah. He did have that toe injury. I don't know what that was all about. He did fracture a rib. So they had a few things going on. So he didn't go this year unscathed. He does have an injury history to consider. Maybe his agent wants him to test the waters a bit because everybody needs pass-catching tight ends. But, yeah, I get your point. We should expect him to return in 2016.
I would think so. He wants to come back. The Bears, you know, you don't know what's going to happen with Martellus Bennett. And even if Martellus is back, which some might consider a long shot at this point, Zach Miller showed that he would be a tremendous number two tight end.
Yeah. See, I think with Martellus, I think common ground could be reached with him if John Fox gets a chance to sit down with him. Now, will Martellus want to do that with his agent? I mean, Fox has a way of winning guys over.
The problem is Martellus doesn't really have a whole lot of leverage here in terms of...
He's got zero.
I mean, he didn't do anything this year.
No.
But I would say he still showed he's a great tight end. I think he's a tremendous tight end.
He's a physical specimen. The Bears don't have a tight end, really.
But you also he didn't do anything this year that says, "Hey, you have to pay me."
Yeah.
That's the problem.
I think the Bears, he actually gave him some chances too. You know, I just think of that first Detroit game where he had two. Cutler went to him twice in the end zone.
Yeah.
And each time, the linebacker broke up the pass. Grand opportunities there to make your statement as an elite tight end. I mean, Rob Gronkowski at least grabs one of those.
Oh, absolutely. All right, let's move on. Every year there's these guys, these names that, you know, even we as the reporters who are there every day, you kind of forget about them when it's all said and done. Guys that got cut, traded, maybe have just been sitting on the practice squad the whole year. And certainly I think the more casual fan totally forgets about him. So I'm going to leave the name into the presentation put together by Mike Jacobson. But this award basically goes to a guy where you're going, what happened to him?
The Brock Forsey, what happened to him award. John Bostic.
I thought we had a great game plan going into the game. You know, we'll once we watch the film, you know, make the adjustments, you know, we just got to move on from there.
The Offspring.
Whatever did happen to Brock Forsey?
Oh, guys. You're asking the wrong guy. Want me to pull up the Google machine real quick?
Whatever happened to Offspring?
That's a good point.
You know what I'm saying?
You're hitting. By the way, I hope our listeners are appreciating the music choices here. Like even the Devin Hester, you went back to Superman.
Yeah,
you had to. That was a staple with Devin Hester.
He gave a lot of thought to this, folks.
This is good stuff from Mike Jacobson. Look, John Bostic, he was actually on this team for three games this year. Mm-hmm. People forget that he was
play.
He was inactive for all three of those games. As I mentioned earlier, he led the team in tackles last year. It was pretty much an afterthought.
Yeah,
throughout the offseason, training camp. It was clear to me that he wasn't really going to be a part of this team.
He had one day in Bourbonnais. Might have been his first day back. You know, at that point, Shane McClellan and Christian Jones it cemented themselves as leading candidates to start inside linebacker.
And Bostic missed the whole offseason program with a back injury.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So here's Bostic and Mason Foster, and I just remember one day in that back corner field, and Bostic is having a day, right? I mean, he is stopping guys for, you know, tackles for loss. He's breaking up passes. He's looking good in individual drills. Like, here's finally the player that the Bears, at least Phil Emery's Bears, had hoped for. He's coming back. You know, he's going to be healthy. But then he's hurt again, you know?
Yeah.
High ankle sprain, disappears. The Bears had seen enough. At least this regime has seen enough, you know, and they wanted to – they really flipped the switch on him awfully fast for a guy who was young and was the 50th overall pick just a couple of years ago.
So they trade him to New England. They get a six-rounder in that too? What did they
forget?
It was a six-rounder.
Mm-hmm.
Six-round pick and two tackles in 11 games this year. I'm assuming those are on special teams too, because that's where he was primarily playing.
Yeah.
As a special team. That's not exactly a lot of tackles even, you know, on special teams. So anyway, that's what happened to him. He's in the playoffs.
He's got a chance for a Super Bowl.
Jared Allen's in the playoffs.
Yeah.
We should have come up with a list of guys that were on this team. Mason Foster's in the playoffs.
Yeah. Mason. That's a good one. I feel bad for Charles Tillman, by the way.
Oh, that's
He wasn't on this team from this camp, but you know, he was having a good year. He was healthy.
Torn ACL. I didn't realize he was playing on a
partially torn ACL. And it finally went, but I mean, he was forcing turnovers again. The Pro Football Focus people had good grades on him. Tough to see. Bears legend. I mean, this could be it.
All right, two more awards to go. Let's get to them. This is another fun one. Let's dive right in.
The Brandon Marshall Distraction of the Year Award.
It's whack to me. It's whack, bro. It's whack.
Jay Ratliff.
Is he out and around driving right now that you think there may be concern for his own safety?
But I have to worry about 150 people here, so he was really upset. So.
Okay.
And he did come back once, and we asked him to leave, and he finally did, and it took a long time and a lot of talking.
If there was a threat that the organization perceived as real, and there were other people in the building, including the media, should other people have been alerted to that situation?
I believe that's why the police were here.
We got our Potsy reference in for this show.
There's my guy.
Actually got his voice in here.
Yes, yes.
Someday we got to get him on the podcast.
So what do you want to talk about here, Ratliff or Marshall? Because Marshall's still taking shots at us on Twitter.
I know. I don't.
He loves
us. Who cares? I mean, it's everyone else's fault but his, right? What's he saying now? I don't even know.
Well, it was a couple of days ago where he said, you know, the Chicago media. Well, he said he won the Media Good Guy Award here on Twitter. We should probably clarify that, right? Because
no, we didn't.
He didn't. No. It didn't exist. Well, he was here 1 year when it existed, but it was Josh McCown.
Josh McCown and then Ryan Mundy.
And now Matt's Lawson this year.
So he was here for two seasons. He didn't win it.
No, no. But either okay. way. Either
anyway, way. The this year was definitely, there were less distractions, let's put it that way,
yeah.
than last
yeah.
season. I mean, if we had done this award last year, there would have been...
It would have been the whole entire podcast.
We could have had five nominations going from Martellus Bennett slamming Kyle Fuller down in training camp, Lance Briggs opening a restaurant on Labor Day and missing practice. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Brandon Marshall trying to fight fans in Detroit.
Mm-hmm. I'm screaming at Robbie Gould after the Dolphins loss.
Yep.
Last year? I mean, there's a lot of things.
This year there was really only one. Mm-hmm. And there was only one option here to choose from. And, you know, it was significant. It was a big story when it happened. But Jeremiah Ratliff was let go. You were all over the story and finding out why. And ultimately, he just sort of lost it in practice. And they couldn't calm him down. And
lost it with the medical staff first.
Right.
I mean, he was hurt with his neck, remember?
Yeah.
And then that
That's
continued.
Right. This wasn't in practice. That was 2 years ago.
Right,
but,
right.
But this was just... He was hurt and talking to the medical staff.
And then it just escalated rather fast. And then we saw the police report later. I mean, threats against staff members, threats against, not really staff members, children, but general threats, you know, about hoping people will die. You can't have that, you know. Ryan Pace, I'll give him this. I mean, he addressed it the other day in the season in press conference. I mean, he really took control of the situation and really, I mean, didn't let this linger at all. You're gone. You can't do that at this football team.
Yeah, and that's really, you talk about the culture and the atmosphere. Those are two buzzwords that were thrown out a lot in Monday's press conference. The way they handled situations, I mean, this was an extreme example, but the way they didn't put up with things.
Yeah.
It was, you're either with us or against us. And what did Tom Thibodeau say? You're either in the circle or you're out of the circle.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're out of the circle, you're gone.
Yeah.
With this organization now. And I think that's a great thing.
Yeah. I think some players were, what's the word to use here? Not saddened, not troubled, but maybe dismayed. I mean, they like Ratliff. I think some of them knew about his history or they've witnessed it. I don't think it happened as often as some people would portray, but you just can't have that if you're building something that's bigger than Ratliff at Halas Hall.
I think the only other example we could have used would have been Ray McDonald, but that wasn't in the middle of the season. I mean, that still could have been a choice and was maybe even more of a distraction just in the offseason. I don't know that it's distracted the team at all.
Probably affected some other moves. I mean, if they consider Alden Smith,
yeah,
you know, probably not now after they gave Ray McDonald a chance and that backfired on them quite severely.
Yeah, he was on the roster during the draft. I mean, wasn't that how it went down? Or was he cut?
No. He was signed during the owner's meetings.
And I thought he was there until May because he was there during OTAs.
We talked to him in OTAs. Yeah. Remember when he thought his...
So his presence on the roster could have theoretically impacted draft picks.
Yeah.
I mean, if you really believe what Ryan Pace says in drafting the best player available, maybe not. But it is interesting to think about.
Absolutely.
But distraction of the year, Jeremiah Ratliff, pretty easy choice there. And our final award, basically an MVP award. This is the big one. You know, this is where you watch the Oscars for 3 boring hours, and it comes down to best actor. They finished with the film of the year, right?
Best picture. Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. I hate the Oscars. I'll watch the Grammys.
I've been Grammys guy.
Yeah, I like the Grammys.
Theater now.
The Academy Awards are just boring. Sorry. Hopefully this podcast hasn't been boring. This is the climactic moment with the inaugural Golden Bear Claw.
The Golden Bear Claw. The Golden Bear Claw. And the winner is Jay Cutler.
Cutler and the Bears are going to lead. Touchdown, Chicago.
All over the receiver's out. He dropped the ball. Cutler gets it back and throws to 14.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely say so. I mean, that's not all on me. That's on a lot of guys and the receivers, the line.
Cutler has the first down. Bennett going to go into the end zone for the touchdown. End zone throw. Catch. Did he hold on? Yes. Touchdown. Bears. Alshon Jeffrey. And Jay Cutler can see his name next to Sid Luckman in the Bears quarterback record book.
What a different tune to what we would have been playing last year.
Yeah.
We talked about Jay earlier. He was also the Offensive Player of the Year award, obviously. And so easy choice, I think, here for team MVP. Before we get out of here, because I talk about my grades throughout the year, and I also say that I don't really give them, you know, talk about them week to week.
Go for it.
Because I think it's a little unfair. But I think as a season in the whole, there is some value to them. And let me give you the top five for the season. And number one is Jay Cutler. Pretty easy choice. But he didn't pass Matt Forte until his performance against the Lions in week 17. But Forte was number two. Who do you think was number three?
Number three? Offenses?
It is an offensive guy.
Matt Lawson?
No, it's actually Alshon Jeffrey. Because you don't really get penalized for not playing when you're just grading a guy out. Now, that obviously does matter when you talk about contracts. But when Alshon was on the field, he was great.
Mm-hmm.
And he graded out number three overall. And then Willie Young was number four, and then Pernell McPhee. And they were pretty close defensively. But that was your top five in terms of the highest grades I had this season. For bottom five, do you want guys who are still on the team only?
No, go overall.
Okay, because, I mean, Jimmy Clausen only played in two games.
Okay, he doesn't count.
Not Jimmy. Vladimir Ducasse, then, would have been the worst graded player. I actually thought he played well when he came back. He did go
for the Tampa game. He was great. It fit his skill set a lot better than, I mean, pass protection is not a strength.
Right, and he gave up a sack against the Lions.
Yeah.
And then Hronis Grasu, who I think can get better. Sherrick McManus, which doesn't speak to a special teams play. He was fine on special teams, but when he was the Bears' nickel back earlier in the year, he struggled. And then, let's see, because I got guys like Brock Faerien and Terrence Mitchell on here who aren't even on the team. Christian Jones really did not take that step forward that I think even this regime was hoping.
Yeah. I think maybe took a step back at one point.
Oh, I think he did.
He's a healthy scratch.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So what is that, four? And then we count Alan Ball. Did he play enough?
No.
And then I'll talk about
a guy who $3 million they gave him and wasn't even two games?
Didn't work out.
No.
So if we're not counting him because he didn't play enough, then the last guy would be Shay McClellan. And by the way, it went from worse to better.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Vlad DeCoste was...
What would you make of Ryan Pace's comments on Shay McClellan the other day?
Very
Vic Fangio-like.
Yeah, but I've also, as much as Vic Fangio has praised him, I haven't completely bought in that they definitely want him back.
He hasn't praised anyone to that extent all season.
That's true, but they're also in defense mode on him, I think.
They don't have to be, though. You know, it's kind of a big decision, I get it, but, you know.
But with him, confidence is such an issue.
Yeah.
That
it is.
You can't pile on the guy. So I think he could be back. If there's no market for him, you can get him back.
Come back cheap, yeah.
Come back cheap, put him in the mix. I don't think he's guaranteed his starting job next year, though.
No,
by any means. Anyway, it's been a fun year here. We've had a lot of fun talking about the Bears every week with you. We're not completely going away in the offseason. Want to make that clear. This is our season finale for year one of doing intentional grounding, but... We'll probably go more monthly rather than weekly during the off season.
But we'll be at events. You got Senior Bowl.
I think we're gonna do a podcast at the Senior Bowl, which is at the end of this month. Down in Mobile, we'll both be there. We'll do one at the Combine in February. I think we'll do one at the owners' meetings in March. We also have free agency. I'm sure we'll throw in another podcast or two when free agency's hot in March. And then leading up to the draft, we might actually go back to weekly for the month of April, just leading up to the draft. Everyone loves a draft. We love talking about it. And then it will hit you up at OTAs, mini camp, the whole deal. And then before you know it, it'll be training camp again.
On to 2016.
Yes. That's how it goes. Calendar flips over, and it never stops in the NFL. We've had a lot of fun this year. I hope you enjoyed listening to Intentional Grounding. We know we have some loyal listeners out there, so we thank you for listening every week. Hope you enjoyed this award show, and we'll talk to you soon in a few weeks, that's for sure. Again, follow us on Twitter throughout the offseason. We'll be there for you. Adam Hogue, Adam Johns on Twitter, HogeJahns, that's how you spell our last names. Find us there, WGNRadio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com. Find the podcast on iTunes by searching Intentional Grounding on iTunes, and we're on SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/WGN Radio Sports. Thank you, Mike Jacobson, for all the hard work you put in throughout the season and into this award show. The production was phenomenal, as always. Enjoy the offseason, everyone. We'll talk to you around the Senior Bowl later this month.